Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle. We're the people dashboard that's helping HR leaders at small and medium companies to automate HR reporting and analytics. We know that most of you spend countless nights and at the last minute pulling together spreadsheets from multiple HR systems and trying to tell some type of data-driven story about it, but a lot of the times, it's just not really what you want it to be. Well, no fear, because Employee Cycle has a people dashboard with pre-connected API connectors, so no development, no going to your IT department helping you to do this. You simply can easily drop in your API tokens from Bamboo, Namely, Zenefits, TriNet, Greenhouse, all the different systems you're using into Employee Cycle so that we can pull all that data into one real-time, beautiful people dashboard for you so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your data, but from one place. But that's enough about us, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the podcast, Christiana Oloyede. She's the CHRO at Aluma. And today we're going to discuss how to support employee needs during a crisis. Christiana, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I am happy to be here. Thank you so much. Yes. These are indeed, crisis times, aren't they? We're all living in a pandemic world. So, yes, there's a lot going on out there. And people need support, you know, so I'm happy to be here to kind of talk about some of the things we're doing at Aluma that others might find useful.
Awesome. So, Christiana, what we like to do to kick our podcast off is to always ask, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR? So we would love for you to tell us how that happened.
Okay, well, I ended up in the wonderful world of HR after getting a first degree in education, in English and education, which kind of put me in line to be a teacher, actually. And but that was my father's idea. I went to school, I was very young when I got into college, and I graduated actually at 19 years old. And as you can imagine, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I come from African descent. My parents are from West Africa, Nigeria in particular. And, I didn't want to be any of, the normal things that they expect you to be if you're going to be successful, which is a doctor, lawyer, engineer, pharmacist. I had no inclination. I was terrible with sciences. So my dad thought, okay, your mom's a teacher. That has served us well. So maybe you could be that. And I thought, okay. But I got a degree, and then I joined the workforce, and I was living in England and kind of joined the civil service. And then as I worked more and more, I worked for what is called the Her Majesty's Employment Service, which was kind of helping people get off benefits and into work. You know, so that was kind of a little bit of my introduction to placement and placing people into work. But then I started to do some research about what I really enjoyed. I went to the library, read about different occupations. There was this great big book called Occupations. And I read that and kind of landed on HR because I love to solve problems. I love people. And I love the uniqueness of people. I love challenges. And I love being able to just help people solve whatever it is that they pinpoint. So I went to the University of Westminster in London and got a master's in HR. And the rest is history. I have been in HR, since then. So that's my journey to HR. I didn't fall into it. I chose it.
Awesome. And I know that the HR community is so much better having you a part of it.
I hope so. To do my little part.
So today we're discussing how to support employee needs during a crisis. I know you had some thoughts about this as we were preparing for this interview, but to kick this off, how do you feel most employees are doing And just to put a timestamp on it, today is July 11th. Oh, no, August 11th. Yeah, August is COVID time. I have no idea what day
it
is.
I know, right?
today is August 11th. So how are most of your employees doing today?
Wow. You know what? We have gone through a myriad of, you know, emotions that employees have been feeling since they started. We actually closed offices shortly before the state of California, which is where I work, shortly before Governor Newsom made the order. We closed about a week before because we also had offices in San Francisco, and that was heavily hit. And so we have gone through just the, you know, the shock of pivoting from all being in the office to working from home and making sure people are settled and all of that. And then dealing with, you know, the practicalities of that, the connections, the equipment and, you know, the meetings going remote and all of that to dealing with, you know, now we're home, children are home, people are isolated. How do we support them? There's some changes that we've had to make within our organization recently. And then there's all kinds of things going on, the economy, the protests, you know. So to answer your questions, I think employees at my organization, they're hanging in there. Some people, they've taken it all in their stride and they figured out, you know, how to do their work and how to maintain balance. But there are some people who are struggling. And this is a time now that, students are going back, schools are getting back in session, you know, so I know that that's going to bring with it some additional stresses for those who are parents, you know, so I have that at the back of my mind. And, you know, as well as all the other things that employees are dealing with. So I think that our employees, they're limping along. I think a majority of them, they're limping along. They're trying to just, you know, keep going, but they need support. And we're focusing on providing that support for them at Aluma.
That's so great to hear. And because there's so many things happening right now, whether we're talking about social justice, COVID, unemployment, people's health and wellness, isolation, so many things. As you're thinking about supporting your employees, let's first start off by asking and thinking through, how do you prioritize?
That's a great question. And how we prioritize is by listening closely. We have a people strategy document at my organization, which is what governs interactions with our employees. So every manager, knows exactly what is required of them in how they manage people. The employees also know what to expect. We have an overarching strategy as to, okay, these are the things that are important to us. Listening closely is one of our values, you know, so we live that out loud by asking, we know that there are a lot of things that are happening. We have town halls, for example, every week. That's one of the things that we decided to start doing once we all went remote in order to maintain the connectedness of our employees, of our organization. So we do a poll during the meetings, and we kind of ask how people are doing, based upon that, we then ask deeper questions about, okay, why are you feeling this way? If we see that a lot of people are saying they're feeling tired, a lot of people are feeling frustrated, sad, worried, anxious, then the onus is on us to dig deeper. And actually, this week, I'm going to be sending out, because we have seen like a pattern in the last two polls that we did at the beginning of the town halls. So I'm sending out a survey to the whole to all of the organization to ask, what is it that's really underneath these feelings so that I can then prioritize the support that I'm able to provide? So, for example, if, you know, what's coming back is, oh, yeah, my, workspace is, not very comfortable or conducive to work, then I know that I need to probably prioritize, you know, ergonomics and ergonomic support. If what people are saying is that, you know, they're kind of struggling with isolation, then I need to know that, okay, maybe we need to provide more support with EAP and whatever other resources that we might be able to provide. So to answer your question simply, it's by asking. I'm not assuming that we know exactly what people need. It's by asking and listening closely to what employees are saying that they need in order to be more productive, in order to feel more successful, and in order to feel supported.
And I totally get how you prioritize based off of what people are saying. But what happens when you have a lot of employees needing very personalized things that are totally different than what everybody else is asking for? Or does that not happen? And you typically find that you're able to put these different requests and needs into buckets and categories and address them on a much broader scale versus having it needing to be personalized.
Not at all. There are times that people need things that are unique to them. You know, so in addition to the surveys, we also encourage people to reach out to the HR department. We also have someone who focuses on culture, whose work is about culture and change. Reach out to them. But most importantly, reach out to their managers. You know, one of the things that we encourage in my organization, which we think is very important for employees to feel supported, but also to make sure that, you know, everyone is in alignment with regards to goals and priorities and, you know, check-ins. You know, so we have, you know, a tool that we use and we encourage at least weekly check-ins with managers because, you know, they are the ones who are actively working with their employees. So we ask them, you know, check in with your employees. And at the beginning, we have some suggested questions to begin those check-in sessions. One of them is always to devote time to ask, how are you doing? You know, so, and what, you know, part of that is also asking, what do you need? You know, and then how can I best support you? So those are some of the questions that we suggest that they ask, because this will then allow them to figure out how their particular employee is doing and what that particular employee needs. And if it's something that is not something that we're dealing with on an enterprise level, on a corporate level, then either they're able to support them or they let us know in HR and we're then able to support the person individually. So yeah, no size fits, you know, it's not a one size fits all. I mean, you know, so while there are things that might be kind of universal and yeah, as you said, that we can put into buckets and address on a corporate level, there are often some individual things that we have to tackle one-on-one with employees as well. But we encourage them to let us know. If we don't know, then we can't, you know, we can't support. And, you know, there are some things that are outside of our control. And in those type of cases, then we will look for resources, you know, outside of Aluma to, you know, see that, okay, here are some suggested resources that you might be able to use. One other thing that we have is we have a channel that, you know, is called Adapting to Living in a COVID World. You know, so sometimes there are ideas on there about what individuals are doing that are helping them that other people can say, oh, okay, that's useful. So that does not come through a formal channel. It's not through a survey. It's not through HR. It's just people sharing ideas on how they're, you know, getting support for themselves.
Have you found any situations where employees might not want to speak up about a specific thing that they want because they don't want to sound needy or they don't want to be singled out or they just don't want to feel helpless? And I'm thinking about times when people may really need something, but their pride might get in the way of asking for it. And specifically in relationships with friends, you might need to help a friend out with something at some point in their life and really dig deep into what's going on with their life to really figure out what they need because they just feel like too proud to want to really say what's going on or ask. I'm curious, how much of that do you think is the responsibility of a company when you feel that a person isn't really telling not necessarily the truth, but giving the full story of how they're feeling, what they're doing, what they need, versus the company having a stand saying, well, we tried. If that person doesn't really want to speak up, there's nothing we can do. How do you strike that balance?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're quite right that, you know, there are some people who are more reticent in asking for help. And what we do is that we work really hard to create an environment where people feel that they experience empathy. We happen to work in for an organization that develop software upon which, you know, social services platforms run. You know, so we work very closely with, you know, counties and state departments in delivering social services. You know, so we see firsthand, you know, the need that is out there, and we talk about it a lot. That's our mission, to help. But we also always take the time to say, listen, we can't be helping and focus outwardly without helping our people. So we talk about that, that there is no shame in needing help. There is no shame in asking for help. A lot of the avenues through which we get feedback on how people are doing, I feel like, are anonymous. You know, so for example, when we do the polls on you know, in the mornings when we have our town hall, our weekly town halls, we used to ask people to share openly. Like, okay, you know, we'll call, you know, the CEO will call on people, how are you doing, you know? And then we realize that, you know, people may not be honest. To your point, they might be embarrassed. So we change that to the, you know, an anonymous poll that you can talk. Nobody knows, you know, who's saying what. And we also have that in the surveys. And we also have that, you know, there's a way to contact HR that, you know, if you don't want anyone, you know, to know. You know, so, and then we put things, as I said, we put things out there so that if people need it, for example, we put information on food banks, we put information on, you know, people getting help with rent, so that it's there. People don't even have to ask. It's just there for them to use.
That's great. You know, when I think about all the ways that you're supporting your employees, to take a different perspective on this, I think how some people, whether they have kids, well, let's go with that. Let's go with employees that have children. They may need a whole lot more support than someone who doesn't have children. However, there may be someone who doesn't have children, but also is not in a relationship. And so they feel lonely. I mean, there's so many different things that you need to do. I'm curious if there's ever a situation where some employees feel that other people may be getting not necessarily too much support, but that they're given more flexibility based off of the situation that they have. So on other podcasts, many HR leaders have talked about the need to provide flexibility to employees with children to be able to work pretty much any time throughout the day. So maybe they work 6 to 8, and then 8 to 10, they are with their kids, getting them ready for virtual school. And then from 10 to 12, they're working. And then from 12 to 2, they're helping their kid with homework or making lunch. And then from 2 to 5, they're with their kid. And then 3 to 8, they're working again. That's a really interesting schedule. And then other people may say, well, I want to work that schedule too, but they weren't necessarily asked if they needed to because they don't have children. How do you deal with situations like that? And is that even a problem in the first place?
I think we're rather fortunate at Aluma that it's not a problem. You know, we all went remote, and we all have the flexibility to work the hours that work for us. We do have clients that we support. So there are some areas, you know, where they have to be available during certain hours. But whatever is available to everyone to take advantage of. For example, we just instituted a Flex Friday schedule, so an alternate work schedule, which what we were trying to do was allow people to end their day at 12 o'clock on Fridays, you know, so but still work a 40-hour week. And yes, we have people who work in areas of the organization where there's a help desk that's open from 9 to 5. So it's like, okay, how do we do this? You know, do we exclude them from being off at 12 o'clock on Fridays? And it's like, no. So what those managers had to do was just get creative about scheduling so that we're still able to deliver services up until 5 to our clients. But then those people can take the time off at another time during the week, maybe Monday mornings, coming late on Monday mornings, so that they're still able to have some time off, you know. So, you know, we have allowed employees and managers, especially the agency, to do what works for their teams, what works best for their teams. So people work, you know, when they feel most productive. We all know that some of us are morning people, some are, you know, more later in the day people, you know. So as long as we've had to rethink what productivity means for us, that it's not about the hours. And I think it's never been about that, actually. It's always been about the output. You know, so I think we were already in a good place with regards to that, so that we don't need to micromanage the hours that people work and you know, and all of that. So I think we were just fortunate like that, that people are able to work what hours work for them, whether it's because they have children or because these hours just work better than other hours, you know, or because they share a house with some people and sometimes work better. You know, like I work at home and my husband, you know, works upstairs. I work downstairs. And sometimes when he has meetings, we have to take that into consideration that, okay, yes, you know, we can't all be on, you know, Zoom calls at the same time in the same space. So yeah. There's agency for people to work what works for them, you know, thankfully.
Christiana, it sounds like you're doing an amazing job helping the workforce and employees navigate through these challenging times. So we just want to thank you for that. And we also want to thank you for all the wisdom and guidance you provided on this podcast. So thank you so much for being on the show.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Of course. So where can people find you and Aluma online?
You can find us at www.aluma.org. We are also on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. And you can find me on LinkedIn.
Great. And we'll provide all of that info in the show notes. So if you enjoyed this podcast, then please leave us a 5-star rating to show that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to an Employee Cycle podcast and you're hungry for more awesome episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to awesome podcasts. And last but not least, all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.